Thank you to Michael for, you know, recommending this as the topic for this week's episode. Thank you, Michael. Thank you so much for always encouraging me to do more for the podcast. And thank you for being a listener since day one and an all-time fan, always in my DM, driving me to always come out of my shell. Thank you so very much. And now to the episode. Hello guys, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, good whatever time of the day you are listening to this, and welcome to another episode of the Volatile Times with Daniel podcast. Now it's evening over here, my windows are open, I am too lazy to stand up to close them for this episode, so you might hear some birds chirping up and down, you know, you might hear nature all around me. That's if I don't drown it out after editing and adding background music and stuff, you know, mixing ish. But yeah, how have you been? How are you doing? You know, I hope you're in a comfortable space. Are you a parent about to listen to this? Because, you know, my parents and teachers mostly, that this thing that I'm about to talk about, you know, is addressed to mostly, but I think to everybody in general. And basically, today's message is one thing. Discipline is not about punishment. Okay, that was the only scream I'm not leaving any promises with you guys. That might not be the only scream I scream in this entire episode. Now, okay, I am a secondary school teacher here in Nigeria. I teach all classes from GS1 to SS3, which means I deal with ranging from the most immature kids to the least immature kids, right? And I use kids sparingly because I usually don't refer to them as kids. Usually, okay, maybe the GS students, the junior school students, I refer to them as kids. But the senior school, I usually don't use kids. Mostly, I usually generally don't use kids when I refer to them. At least in the sense that it's usually used, you know. But that's just a side note, by the way. I am tired. I'm recording this while still at work. It is till 7. I am tired. I've had a long day, but I feel like this is the right mood for me to talk about this. Like, I'm going to vex a little bit, so I am warning you now. This might seem like I'm taking this too personally, which I kind of am, but trust me, I'm not here to attack anyone. So, enough disclaimers and please and everything. Let's get into this. So, I'm going to start with a series of posts I did on my WhatsApp status. You know, I'm going to read through that to basically establish a context and guideline for how I talk about this particular episode. I mean, this particular topic, yeah? But I think first things first, you know, I should look into the dictionary for you guys, my fans, you know, and basically get a baseline definition of what discipline is, you know, because when you think about discipline, especially in kind of like an African setting, a black household, a Nigerian setting, discipline is synonymous to beating, punishment, pain, wickedness, sadism, you know, all those kind of stuff, right? So, okay, obviously, discipline is a controlled behavior, self-controlled, all that kind of stuff. But the definition that kind of works with what I'm talking about today is discipline is to train someone by instruction and practice, to punish someone in order to regain control. You know, all those kind of things. But the very first one being to train someone by instruction and practice, which is the major point of discipline. That is the major point of discipline, to instruct, to teach, to guide, to correct. I cannot emphasize this enough. So many people that I talk about discipline with, you know, our minds usually go to punishment first. And that's because we were raised thinking that being punished is discipline. Sometimes being punished is us being punished for no goddamn reason. We beat children nowadays for even things that do not need beating. And sometimes we do overbeat and then we come back and meet them and be like, yeah, I did this because I love you. Fam, no. Let me get to my WhatsApp status, I beg. Okay, I said, we need to re-educate ourselves on the concept of discipline. Discipline is not an act of punishment. Discipline is an act of love. It's meant to be an act of love. It's meant to be an act of mentoring and correcting. Hear that? Mentoring, teach, guide, instruct, and correct when people are wrong, when children are wrong. You know, discipline them. It is not for sadistic nurturing of children, because y'all be getting on my nerves. Y'all be getting on my nerves. You see, as a teacher, sometimes I see kids, I see my children, not my children, I haven't given birth yet, but I see, you know, the students coming to school sometimes, some of them bearing scars that came from beatings they received at home, right? And I'm like, wow, oh my God, what did you do? And when they say the thing, it's either based on a hearsay, they were punished on something somebody said, somebody from somewhere called them, that they saw them in somewhere, without offering any proof, without offering any extra explanation, without, you know, the parents themselves trying to figure out whether the person understands what was going on there, what was the context of stuff like this. You know, you don't. And when the child is being asked, obviously children lie. Duh, everybody lies, adults lie, everybody lies. But it's like, at least listen to the child first, ask the child. But no, here in Nigeria, now beating first. You will chop, you will eat the beating. It's not take-o. You will eat it. We eat discipline here like as if it is lunch. You know, we eat 20 strokes of cane for breakfast, 30 lashes of the whip for supper. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, spare the rod and spoil the child. But I believe this verse is so misused. It's so misused to the point that I want to cry sometimes. This is a call to discipline. That verse is a call to discipline. It's a call to correct the child. Neglect the correction and mentoring that is discipline, and that child will be spoiled. That's what the verse was teaching. The child will be spoiled both in morals and value systems. You know, if discipline is neglected, if the correction and mentoring part of discipline is neglected, you know, discipline is not about the type of cane you can use or the whip you can use, not about how harsh your words can be, not about how creative you can be with dishing out punishment schemes. And sincerely, it's not. The way we take discipline and correcting a child and beating a child and all those stuff, we take it like as if it is BDS, bondage games. Like, are you okay? Yeah, some of you tie children to chairs and tell people to hold down children from running away from the cane, which is a natural reaction. And trust me, there have been times where I've wanted to beat a child, and you know, the child is just, and I'm like, just one stroke of cane, and the child is running around the entire house, which is just drama to me, sincerely. It's drama. It's drama. Let me not lie to you. You know, you see this beating thing, eh? It's never really a good idea, to be honest, which I admit, you know, psychological studies say usually adults employ cane or beating as a quick solution to a behavioral problem. Quick solution is like slapping a band-aid on the thing, you know. We don't want to put in the hard work of correctly teaching and correcting. And it's true, it's hard to sit a child down. And don't worry, I'm going to talk about beating in and of itself. Like, there is a place for beating. There is a place for beating a child. But the point I've been trying to drive so far is, most of the time when we aren't beating out of an act of correction. You know, most of the time we beat when we are angry, we beat when we are frustrated. We do it as a quick solution to the problem that is the child's behavior, instead of trying to calm down first and correctly assess the situation, why the child is behaving that way, or at least try to understand why the child is behaving that way and correct that behavior. But no, now so beating. Cane up and down. Why? Is it BDSM? Okay, I said I wasn't going to scream on this episode, so I am not going to scream. See, yes, sometimes harsh words will be employed. Cane will be employed. It's the truth. See, there's this YouTuber, Long Beach Griffey, I think. You know, he's a black comedian on YouTube, and he made a skit recently. Maybe, I don't know how recent it will be to the launching of this episode, but at the time of this episode, which is 14th of May, that's the time this episode is being recorded, 14th of May, he released a skit about beating a child, and you know, somebody was there arguing with him, a Karen, you know, was there arguing with him about beating a child, and you should never ever beat a child, like there is no reason to beat a child. And I'm like, bullshit. I'm like, Lori, raw is a lie. There is a place for beating. There are times where you beat a child. There are times where that is the best solution. But it's never a good idea when you are beating the child without the child knowing why they are being beaten, which happens a lot. It happens a lot. You know, you beat a child without the child really being sure of what they are doing wrong. And even after the beating, you never have a sit down and be like, okay, this is why you had to go through that sort of pain, you understand? This is the better way to react. You teach them. But no, like I said before, we aren't willing to put in the hard work, the effort of correcting. So we beat, we put all our strength to do beat, can punish a child 20 times in one day. But never during all those times do we actually teach them how to correctly behave themselves. We just beat them and expect them to automatically correct themselves, and when they don't, we blame them for something we are supposed to have done. You know, we blame them for not learning automatically that what they've done is bad behavior. We chastise them, we insult them, degrade them, and then we go outside and say, you know, stubborn child. And when the child resists, because what's the point of pain without purpose? When the child resists, we label them stubborn, uncooperative, a bunch of words that human beings like to throw around, you know, and it just does not make sense. What's the point if the discipline cannot be discerned as a act of correction? You know, if it, what's the point if it can't be discerned as not an act of wickedness? Is that discipline? You know, I teach a bunch of kids. Some of these kids are infuriating. Sometimes it's like I should tie somebody's child upside down from the fan and whip some sense into them. Sincerely, even today, people's children be trying me. I have not given birth to a child of my own and somebody's child is trying me. God of mercy. Oh God, I have stories. I have stories. But the truth is this, I rarely beat them and I rarely degrade them with my words. I rarely do all of that. You know, once in a while I employ harsh words, once in a while I cane them, but it's never a common thing, it's never a common occurrence, you know. And when it's been done, usually it's an agreed upon measure of correction. Yes, I and the students, we discuss how they should be held accountable, what measures and steps should be used to hold them accountable in my classes, for my assignments and different things like that. And when there is need for consequence to be suffered, what type of consequences are going to be suffered, you understand? Now, obviously, I might be the one who decides the number of strokes of cane that I beat you, but I have sense, I will not go overboard, because let's not lie, beating itself is stressful. JK, it's stressful, but it's always a, before I beat you, we are going to have discussed a couple of things. We are going to have this about your behavior, about the way you go about things, about the way you are seeing things, how to correctly do things, you understand? What is expected of you, how to meet those expectations in a way that does not kill you, because I don't want my students to die. I love them way too much for that. You know, we discuss all of that, but at the same time, I also discuss, okay, you are making promises now. What should happen when you're unable to fulfill those promises up to 3 times? Because life is about consequences. I tell them life has consequences. You should be accountable for the choices you make. You learn to take responsibility for the choices you make. So how do you want to be held accountable? At social point. We agree, cane, punishment, beating, you understand? So it's like, if you are being punished, and I always tell them something, you should never be caned or punished without knowing the reason why and being told why that is a wrong thing to do and why you should be punished for it. You understand? It's senseless to just beat a child without having them know why they are beaten. Imagine you as an adult, somebody just enters your room and just lays on you, punches after punches, carries 10 different koboko, lays it on you, you understand, blesses your body with marks of the cane. and you have no idea why, how would you feel? How would your thought process be? How would you be able to even process that event? Wouldn't you just see it as a random act of wickedness or a premeditated act of wickedness? If you can do that, what makes you think that children can't? Children aren't stupid. I mean, context-wise, there's context to it. In this context, children aren't stupid. Obviously, different ages require different measures. 2-year-old kids cannot be talked to like 15-year-old teenagers. It's impossible, sincerely. Most of them are not mature enough to be sat down and spoken to in a very, very constructive manner most of the times. So you have to dumb things down and use much more commanding and authoritative words, you understand? But for the teenage phase, you still talk with authority, but a measured and controlled form of authority. You speak to them, not tell them, not command them most of the time. You speak to them, and that enables them to trust you and also trust the authority. So when you are punishing, when you are holding them accountable, when you are laying down consequences to correct or, you know, promote better behavior, they don't see it as an act of wickedness. Sure, it's pain, but they don't hit you in the process, and they don't hit themselves also in the process. They know why they are going through that, and they know for what purpose it is, and hopefully they will do stuff to not go through that again. Let me continue to read my status. If you do the work, mentor them, talk to them, teach them, they will understand. Talking about teenagers here, they will. They aren't stupid, sincerely. I've had so many deep discussions with students in my school, and it's awesome. Sometimes I wonder, like, wow, okay, so you're telling me you understand what I'm talking about. They're like, yes, they can see my point now. They can see how, you know, how they behave is probably not the best way they can do this. There's still some buts. Allow them to have their buts, you understand? Allow them to have their buts. One thing I've learned about teaching teenagers is they need to think that they have a sense or a level of control over some of their actions and some and a part of their life. You know, controlling everything about them does not work. You need to give them a part of themselves that they can moderate and control. Like, give them that, I don't want to say illusion of control, but like, give them that sense of responsibility and control. Just be the overseer and be like, you know, see, for this one, I'll leave the decisions up to you, but know that I'm going to assess your decisions and I'm going to hold you responsible for the outcomes. And I always tell them, see, you coming to come and beg me when you are at fault isn't you taking responsibility. Because most of the time they beg without actually acknowledging the fact that they have done something wrong. I said, if you come and beg me without any acknowledgement of how wrong you are, the things you did, the things you could have done to be better, and all those kind of stuff, you aren't taking responsibility, which you just make the begging look hypocritical to me or anybody else. Yes, I have these discussions with them every day, you know. I teach them different things like that, things I wasn't taught as a kid, you know, I barely beat, but I still have that respect and authority to correct their behavior, even sometimes in things that concern their personal lives. You are there to guide, sincerely, you are there to guide, not dictate. You are not Buhari. In fact, Buhari is not doing anything. Buhari is just, well, God help me. You are there to guide, not dictate. Sure, you restrict their decision making a bit, which is part of what I'm talking about. These are still, in the end, children. So they don't have a totality in decision power, right? But, you know, they should still be able to decide some things for themselves. But hey, they will always recognize that in the end, all power belongs to you. Especially as a parent, you understand, you always need to establish that all power belongs to you, because children will test you. They will test how far they can go with some things with you. They'll test how far they can get away with things, you understand, and they will use that as a mark for how bad they can behave sometimes. You get, how do I know this? There are psychological studies that will tell you this, behavioral sociologists will tell you this. And from experience, I will tell you this, because I don't do Amwella. Okay, sure, you restrict that decision making a bit, but never do it as an exercising of dictatorial authority. You are a teacher, leader, parent, etc. Lead them. Teach them. Do you understand? Teach them. Teach. Imagine God just the dish lightning and thunder, like the slap you like to give, like instant reflex. You know, you tell one small lie, instant thunder, pow, like reflex. You know, just the same way your kid brother, he bumps into you by mistake, instantly you have smacked them, pow. Just the way your child runs into the room, forgetting that, oh, they are supposed to control themselves by the door. Knock, they just burst into the room, and the next thing, pow. Imagine God just dishes lightning and thunder like that at you when you sin. Will you be alright? Will you survive? Will you not have childhood drama? Or should I say adulthood drama or whatever, trauma? Did I just say drama? Trauma, T-R-A-U-M-A, trauma. God disciplines us, but not in a destructive way. With every restriction, every verse that chastises us, every time the Spirit cautions us, it is out of love. Out of the faith that we can and will be better than this. Have that same faith and hope for them kids too. Have that faith for them too. Have that hope for them too. You know, sometimes we always, and we see this with our parents a lot, they just group every generation together with that and look at us through that one bad boy they know. They don't know so many kids. Sincerely, our parents don't know so many children, but they know that one bad boy that they used to represent every single boy in the generation. They know that one girl that they used to represent every single girl in the generation. All of them are alike. All of them are lazy. Imagine, Buaris, all of them, they are Buaris. All these people, Buaris, you understand? Okay, I think I've ranted enough. I hope there was some constructiveness to this episode, sincerely, because, like, this is an issue for me. Like, it's a very, very big issue. I am somebody who, I'm grateful for some of the beating that my parents gave me. Like, I am grateful for some of them, yes, because it was a better way to control my behavior at the time and correct me at the time, especially as a boy, as a growing boy, you understand? It was a better way to do things. It wasn't always, majority of the time, it wasn't always, although me, I know the chop cane like that most of the time, you know, I'm a very good boy, but it wasn't always the best thing to do, but it was a good thing to do for me sometimes, because it was the best way to correct some behaviors. And I'm not going to start giving examples because none are even coming into my head right now, but it was the best way. But sometimes it's just, beating should never be an all-to solution. There are so many schools that, you know, beat children incessantly, like all the time, just constant beating. Parents who beat children, constant beating. You pass by neighborhood, you see that mother just wailing on her 2-year-old, 3-year-old son, and I'm like, guys, it's not this deep. Who is that one kicking support to outside? Eh? That's somebody's child who is disturbing the peace of this podcast. Ah, thunder. Okay, so I've ranted on for more than 25 minutes, you know, talked about this thing, and just, I know this is a very, very controversial decision, but for me, it's always balance. Establish balance. I believe a lot of the times, a good talking to, not a good putting down with words, a good talking to, effective one, can bless your child in so many different ways, right? But also, sometimes a good beating down will bless your child also. Apply discretion. Never beat when you are frustrated. Never beat when you are angry. Never beat when you are have so much high energy that you're unable to calm down and assess the situation like a freaking adult. That is a disservice to you as a parent, as an elder brother, as a teacher, as a leader, as whatever position of authority you are in to the child. It is an abuse of the authority, and it is a disservice to you and the child themselves. You know how you hated being beaten. You know how unnecessary some of the beatings you received were. And if you had just been talked to and things had been explained to you, you would have done better. Most likely, hopefully. You just wish they had that faith and hope for you. have the same one for the younger generation now. I'm not about to tell you be better, but you know, be less wrong than those who raised you, than the teachers who were constantly beating you, who never let you explain yourself, who never let you defend yourself. Be less wrong than the parents who thought you had nothing good to say and every single thing that anybody said about you was true and you couldn't defend yourself. Be less wrong than all those people. That is all I want to leave you with for this episode. Wow, I'm almost 30 minutes. If this episode blessed you, if you learned something or you disagree, you can always reach out to me via mail, which is altthanbricks@gmail.com, or on Instagram at Volatile with Daniel, or on Twitter at Daniel Briggs. I'll reply to anyone you send anywhere. Just hit me up. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please give a 5-star rating and leave a comment. You understand? It will help this podcast go so far. But again, thank you so very much. Also, if you are a podcaster, I have an ebook for you, especially if you podcast with your mobile phone, because that is majorly how I do things most of the time. If you podcast with your mobile phone, you need this ebook. It's called Your Podcast Mobile Studio. I almost forgot the name of my own ebook. It's called Your Podcast Mobile Studio. It's to help you understand sound and recording better and how to get better sounds, even with your phone, and sound like you are using a professional microphone-ish. It's for free. You're gonna pay nothing. And the link will be down below in the description of this episode or the show notes, whatever it's called. But again, thank you so very much for listening. Thank you again, Michael, for recommending this as a topic and for pushing me to talk about this and always show up for the podcast. Thank you so very much. You are the podcast number one fan, officially recognized. If you want to be in the fan zone, you need to reach out, give feedback. Let me know you're alive. Let me know you exist. Okay. Bye-bye, everybody. See you in the next 2 weeks.